Looking for a couple surprise 3-0 teams. Hello, Pittsburgh Steelers. Welcome to the show, yeah. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I might put the Vikings there. I might put the Seahawks there. But let's pause on the Steelers for a second, Perloff, because this was the best game that Justin Fields has had. They beat the Chargers. Now, the Chargers lost Justin Herbert in this game. Mm. He's got an ankle injury. He had the plantar fascia in the offseason or in the preseason. So that's obviously not trending well. But if we keep this on the Steelers, the defense is amazing, but we knew that. This was a good game from Fields. Yeah. Even though he threw his first interception in this game, avoiding the sacks, it's just been 6 on the season, which is not terrible, considering how much he held onto the ball when he was in Chicago. And I think more importantly, you're not benching the guy after he goes 3-0. Even if you want to say the defense is responsible, Pearl, Justin Fields is going to be starting as long as they're winning.
Well, yeah, also, I haven't seen Russell Wilson. Where is he? Is he close to being ready to go anyway?
He's like the emergency third quarterback, I think, yesterday.
Well, the Steelers had an offensive explosion, got up to 20.
Look out, Lee.
I'll tell you one thing, and I've said this take, and I keep hammering. I think that there's a great chance T.J. Watt wins the first MVP for a defensive player since LT in 86, because every quarterback in the league has forgotten how to play. So there is a clear path. And he, even last night, I think it was Heinicke, or yesterday, it was Heinicke who sacked. But he got lined up with Joe Alt, the number 5 overall pick. He was around him so fast, I felt bad for the rookie. I really felt bad. He is sort of the face of this defense, which is one of the stories of the year. Fields was good, but as you said, this defense is kind of all time right now.
No, they're amazing. And again, like, we can unpack this from the Chargers' point of view, which is, should Justin Herbert have been out there at all?
No, no, and no. And now I worry. Our good friend Dr. Rock Positano sent me a text, said, worry about the plantar fasciitis affecting the rest of the leg. Because I think that's one of the first things we knew about Herbert was a lower foot injury. And now it just seems like everything is hurting for him.
Yeah, it's just weird because if you're the Chargers, you're 2-0. And now you're going to face the Steelers, and it's like the defense is good, but the offense isn't good. And so you probably think, all right, maybe we can J.K. Dobbins run our way into a win. I don't know.
Well, they were. I mean, listen, if Herbert's still out there, that game was very,
they were leading
at
half.
Yeah, that game was
10-7.
Very close. They could have been fine, but you could tell something was wrong with Herbert.
Yeah, and this has now really changed a lot of things. Well, and we'll get more information on Herbert today, but here's the part about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Justin Fields is now 3-0 as a starter. Again, it's looked a little bit better every week. Yesterday was the best it looked, but maybe it's because, you know, Chargers had Joey Bosa lost for the game, got hurt in this one, and also you're with a backup quarterback, so it's just different. But I ask you this question. If you are Miami and you watch Skylar Thompson go out, your backup yesterday, and get hurt in Seattle, so now you're to God knows what until you, I guess, waiting for Tua to come off IR with his concussion issues. Is a potential call that Miami could make to Pittsburgh for Russell Wilson, is that a different conversation today than it was Friday? And by that, I mean, I don't know how the Steelers, how do you go away from Fields now when he's having success for you?
No, I don't think it is a different conversation. I think the Steelers immediately hang up the phone because Justin Fields is great, but Justin Fields has gotten hurt a lot in his career. They definitely want a high-end backup there because now they're thinking not just playoffs, but deep playoff run. Like, they think this could be a team. So they're not getting rid of Wilson. I understand. Miami, yeah, definitely. Anybody. Although, I wish Wilson was a little healthier. We could see him throwing the ball. That would help because they need someone immediately. I agree on the Miami side, yes. On the Pittsburgh side, no, because they need a backup.
Yeah, I wonder, do you throw something in for this year, throw in a running back or something like that, something that Pittsburgh might actually want? I don't know, but I do know this, is that Fields, this is the job now. And I don't think that even if Russ, like, passes every medical test and if they're like, no, he's good to play, he's cleared this week, then he's cleared to be a backup. Because I don't think you're going to bench Fields. He hasn't been so bad. You're playing at Indianapolis this week, and I think Indianapolis might be really bad.
Well, nobody's going to score anything in this game.
Another under, potentially. So I don't know how this shakes out because we talked about this earlier in the year. Is Russell Wilson going to accept being a backup?
Yes, definitely.
Well, he has to.
I mean, he's not in uniform, so there's no accepting or anything. Like, you can't start from your living room, so... Unless he wasn't in uniform right this week. Like, he's
I thought
still
he was
out.
The emergency third was quarterback.
Was he emergency even?
I believe I heard that. Anyway, 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on the surprising 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, Pearl, let's start with the Giants and the Browns. First win of the season for New York, and Malik Nabers looks like the guy.
Yeah, I have a defensive strategy for the Giants. Put seven guys on Malik Nabers and let Daniel Jones try and throw it somewhere else, because nobody could catch a Daniel Jones pass except for this guy. He was actually, we watched offseason Hard Knocks. It was the right choice. Number six, Malik Nabers, superstar.
Yeah, he looks great. On the flip side for Cleveland, even as bad as Deshaun has been, I think the Myles Garrett news is way more... Listen, Deshaun is troubling. The Myles Garrett news is also troubling, because you saw what a good defense could do for you last year. He's got both feet hurt. Both of them, Pearl.
Yeah, that's not good. Flat feet, apparently.
Is that right?
I read that somewhere.
Man, okay.
Get inserts.
We move on. Packers under Malik Willis and a great defense yesterday takes down the Titans 30-14.
Isn't it funny, Mr. System QB guy? I was right all along. You put Malik Willis in Green Bay, all of a sudden he's good.
Yep.
And he was terrible in Tennessee. That actually is probably the best defense for Will Levis. Look how much better this guy is when he got out of the building. Malik Willis actually looked great throwing the ball and running the ball, saving himself. I don't know if it works next week against Minnesota. Maybe you bring back Jordan Love, but this is a revelation.
The Green Bay defense has been phenomenal. Obviously, Jaire Alexander has a pick six yesterday. They have seven interceptions as a defense this season. That is awesome. Meanwhile, Will Levis, good thing you got the mayonnaise money while you could. Two interceptions and a fumble. He's now had eight turnovers in three games. And two of them have been pick sixes. This dude's got to get benched. Okay, coming up next, 21-16, Perloff. The Colts hang on for a win over the Bears.
Yeah.
This is a tough one to watch from Caleb Williams. He clearly has the talent, but this has not gone the way that I think people hoped the beginning of the season was going to look for him.
Yeah, actually, if they could get fourth quarter Caleb Williams, I thought he made some plays. So he's going to get more comfortable. He has the talent.
Guess how many pass attempts he had yesterday?
I was just looking.
52.
How many complete?
33.
All right.
Yeah. You don't want your rookie quarterback throwing the ball 52 times in a game that's 21-16.
You know what the problem for them was? Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. We forgot how good that guy is. The Colts running back. If I'm the Colts, by the way, I am never throwing a pass. Under any circumstance.
Probably smart with
just
Anthony
run
Richardson.
Taylor, run Richardson.
Two interceptions, no touchdowns for Richardson. Jonathan Taylor, 23 carries, 110 yards. Okay, let's move on. Next game for you is... What happened here?
Vikings, Texans.
Thank you. All of a sudden, my screen went blank.
It's all good.
Oh, you're like a Texans lineman who could not hear the snap count. That was, you know, I'm going to give a full pass to the Texans. I know you disagreed with me on this one. Eight flags on the offense, mostly for false starts and illegal formations, which is the new thing this year. Mm-hmm. Laremy Tunsil couldn't hear the snap count. There's no other way around it. Like, they kept screwing this up.
Yeah, then give the win, I guess, to the Vikings fans.
Yeah,
they couldn't hear.
Skull.
C.J. Stroud just not good in this game. Two interceptions, took four sacks. Obviously, we talked about the pre-snap penalties. They at one point went from a third and four at a 25 to a possession they had to punt on.
I know.
I mean, that is rough. Aaron Jones is great. Justin Jefferson could catch a pass from you and I.
All right, Houston all of a sudden missed Joe Mixon, too.
It's Sam Darnold. Wow. Didn't see that coming. Okay.
Sam Darnold was good. I love to me, it's Aaron Jones. Sam Darnold, did he throw it all in the second half? Not really.
Didn't have to. They won 34-7. Okay, your Eagles go down to New Orleans. They win 15-12. Not exactly the offensive fireworks we were expecting from the Saints. Good job by the Eagles defense, making the Saints look really pedestrian, especially that defensive front.
That was a bad coach off, because the Saints left at least 10 points on the floor. The Eagles left even more. The Eagles had almost 500 yards and scored 15 points. It was
all
crazy.
All in the fourth quarter.
It was crazy how Dennis Allen and Nick Sirianni had no idea what to do in the red zone. They're both doing bend-don't-break defenses, and they weren't good enough to get in the end zone. That was a fluke. That was a fluke on top of a fluke on top of a fluke. I don't really take much away from this game, because the Saints looked like they couldn't do anything. Then Olave has a miracle touchdown. I feel like both teams are waiting to screw up next week. Does that make sense?
Wow, so much confidence you have in your team. Let's move on. The Broncos get their first win of the season, 26-7. This was one of the more stunning upsets, I thought, of the day.
Yeah.
I had sort of believed and kind of bought in a bit to Tampa Bay. Turns out not the case. Bo Nix looks good. Got off to an early start with two touchdowns in the first quarter. And the Broncos' defense looked really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Bo Nix with the way he moves.
The wheels, man.
I mean, he really is fat. It's Auburn Bo Nix all over again. So it actually makes me feel better about that pick. This game was a huge sigh of relief because I think some Broncos fans were wondering, oh, no, did we miss again at quarterback? And the Bucs beats me. Beats me the whole NFC South. I have no idea what's going on there.
Remember last week when we were like, this division could have two teams that go to the playoffs? That was stupid.
Now I'm like, can anyone actually win this division with the Panthers?
Speaking of the NFC South, here come the Panthers. Their first win of the season, 36-22. Andy Dalton looks great, and Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders, already questioning whether guys are making business decisions instead of playing hard.
I mean, rough. What does that say about the last 20 games for Bryce Young, that Andy Dalton can go out and do that? I mean, it's definitely an indictment on the former number one overall pick.
You think?
And he was playing, you know, everyone say, well, you know, it's the system, it's the team. It wasn't. It was him. He just has no confidence. So I think that Dalton did that is the end of Bryce Young for the foreseeable future.
So I think Bryce Young, yeah, is not going to play for the Panthers ever again. Diana Rossini is reporting that. But here's the other part. So until the Raiders had 15 fourth quarter points, I actually was thinking to myself, is this going to become so much of a blowout that they have to put Bryce Young in the game? Because you'd have to pull Dalton because you'd be up by like four scores. And now normally the backup would get in. I'm like, we might see Bryce Young today after all.
Good point. Aiden O'Connell came in and shredded up a little bit.
Seahawks 24, Dolphins 3 in a game where the Dolphins lose their backup quarterback. So Tua's on IR with concussions. Then Skylar Thompson out of the game. He's got what? Broken ribs, did they say?
Yeah, very bad broken rib.
So that's it for him for a while. So now where do the Dolphins go? Snoop Huntley was not active yesterday. He's the guy they signed after the Tua injury. They've got to start. They have to bring someone else in this week, Pro.
Or do you just tank?
It's too early.
I don't know. That was such a weak effort by Miami. That game never. I know the score was relatively close. It never felt like Miami was going to put together some offense. I like to see everything I'm seeing in Seattle. I know it's a week 3-0, but Zach Charbonnet is the real deal. And for the most part, Geno's awesome. Geno had a couple mistakes in this game, but Geno Smith to DK Metcalf is one of my favorite combos.
Ravens 28, Cowboys 25. This game was a blowout until the Cowboys rallied for 19 points in the fourth quarter, Perloff, to try to make it and complete this furious comeback. They couldn't do it. I don't think you take any solace in this if you're a Cowboy fan. Like, oh gosh, we storm back in the fourth quarter against the Ravens. There's really nothing to like here if you're the Dallas side of things. You still can't stop the run. The Baltimore Ravens were the much more motivated team. Even though the Cowboys themselves got smoked last week, they should be motivated. I thought this was a bad sign for Dallas.
Yeah, but 0-2 is more motivated than 1-1. And also Baltimore, I mean, Lamar ran 14 times. Tough. You knew that was going to be a problem. Dallas specifically not designed for this game. They'll bounce back.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda there from Dallas. They could have signed him, should have signed him, but didn't. Okay, Rams 27, 49ers 24 in a game that just had us all shaking our heads. Another blown lead for the 49ers in a game where not a lot of people were healthy, Perloff, but the Rams end up stealing a game from a division rival where they did not lead at any point in the game until 2 seconds left when they kicked the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It was a slow burn. You could see the Niners subtly throwing that game away at several points. Special teams not good. Pass rush non-existent on Matthew Stafford at the end. I mean, how can you lose to Tutu Atwell, DeMarcus Robinson? I didn't even know half the guys who were running out on routes. That was a bad loss.
Definitely a bad loss for San Francisco. Yeah, you just shake your head. I know you're missing guys on offense, but you had a lot of your defensive guys there. Okay, Lions 20, Cardinals 13. 3 points total scored in the second half of this game. And the Lions didn't score at all in the second half. I keep waiting, Perloff. Where's this juggernaut offense? Like, when is that going to get back into our life with the Detroit Lions?
Oh, I like it. The Lions just... they just put a stranglehold on that game with the run game. And it's impressive. I think Montgomery and Gibbs is is a real factor. Like, that's a championship combination.
Yeah, but it's a 20-10 lead on the road. Like, that's not to me where you then sit on the lead. If I'm the Detroit Lions, I want to keep leaning on them, keep pouring it on.
Well, I don't know. I felt like it was a real imposing of will. I think Dan Campbell was super happy with that game. When they went for 200, the game never felt in any jeopardy to me whatsoever.
It kind of felt in jeopardy to me at the end when they had only a one-score lead, but the Cardinals couldn't do much. For you, last night, Chiefs at the Falcons. This was another one where the Chiefs defense stands up at the end of the game. Very, very controversial. No call as Kyle Pitts gets sort of mugged in the end zone. No flags. The Falcons had another bite at the apple to try to have a game-winning touchdown drive. Couldn't do it. Chiefs escape.
I don't know. Both these teams, they need to get to the last minute. I was watching the game, and the Chiefs seemed to have it under control. But then the Falcons had two huge opportunities to win the game. Here's my question. Can the Chiefs keep winning like this? I mean, it's got to be at a certain point, they're going to drop one of these games. Right, Maggie?
They should have dropped last night. I mean,
they should have, you know, they probably should have lost to the Bengals. They definitely should have lost to the Bengals. I mean, it was a pass interference on a low round rookie, and they probably could have lost week one if Isaiah Likely's toe was in bounds. That's three could have lost.
And they won a ball. 3-0. That's your NFL in 60. Let's update some poll questions for you on X at Maggie and Pearl. Do you blame Kyle Shanahan for the 49ers' loss against the Rams? 53% say yes, 47% say no. And does the Cowboys' near comeback against the Ravens matter for Dallas? 85% say no.
Yeah.
No, people were not impressed with that. Maybe Tom Brady was. He's about it.
I think he was just trying to stay awake. By the way, once again, now I got close to the end. I always say this about Romo and Brady. I'm a red zone watcher with a game on with volume.
Yeah.
And then I watch the other games on YouTube, DirecTV, Sunday Ticket without volume. So I never hear Tom Brady. If the game was a blowout, Tom Brady was not really in my life yesterday. So I think he could practice on these daytime games. But other people, like, I know the media is going after him pretty heavily. I think he's fine. Like, I don't even know it's Tom Brady. It could be anybody.
But isn't that a problem?
No, like, it's not a problem at all. No. What do I care?
Well, I'm just saying, like, we were expecting a lot of really amazing insights from the greatest to ever do it. We're not really getting that.
Yeah, but does this affect anybody's NFL experience? No, of course not. The games are what matters.
Yeah. It's just, you also can't lie to us, though. And I think he's maybe just a little nervous. Like, oh, yeah, Dak, great game. It's like, he's not. He's not having a good game at all. 855-212-4227. He's still finding his way. It's all right. Just has the Super Bowl at the end of the year. Nobody watches that game.
No pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, the exaltation of Greg Olsen as some, like, the next John Madden, I didn't totally understand that either.
Well, that I don't really get either, but he's better than Brady. But, you know, Brady was always going to get the job. You're not going to start him on the B team. It's Tom Brady. It's just, you know, someone has to be honest with him, I think, about some of the places and areas he needs to get better at. And I think the people at Fox are probably being honest, but you've got to, like, really give him the details. He's trying to learn broadcasting. There's some mechanical issues that he has.
Sorry, they may have needed a three-team booth with Brady.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know, maybe Brady could play off of another player or coach so that maybe there's some interaction. Like, I think Kevin Burkhardt, like, he's amazing, but, like, I think he's also having trouble kind of feeling his way through this, and that's not helpful when the veteran's also kind of struggling to bring the rookie along. Maybe there was a third guy in there. Maybe they just kept Olsen in there and added Brady as a third guy. I think that maybe Brady could have played off of another football guy well. It's costly. It costs you more money. You're paying Brady $300 million already, but Fox has got it.
They don't care about that. Right. I don't. Three team booths are really hard. You know, like, I credit Tiki Barber. They do a great job.
Yeah, they're great on that.
Tiki and Andrew Catalan and
McCourty.
And Jason? Devin?
I believe it's Jason.
Jason McCourty. They do a great job on a three-man booth. It's hard. Not everybody is going to be Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson and Mike Breen. It's a hard thing to do.
Well, give an example of a bad one in football. I'm trying to think.
All the Monday night ones that they mostly tried?
Yeah.
Jason Witten, Booger, and Joe Tessitore?
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, you asked for one.
I mean,
they didn't even keep Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick together.
Oh, that was
with Steve Levy.
My God, I forgot about that group.
And Kornheiser and what was it? Jaws was with somebody who was doing the play-by-play. That didn't work either.
It's tough. It's just tough. I think for Brady, he's just got to loosen up a little bit. And by that, I mean, in a blowout, you can go to some stories. They tried to, you know, with the 28-3 and stuff like that. They tried, but it's just not coming naturally to him yet.
Yeah. Fine. Again, I think this is maybe more an us thing. Like, I don't think the average NFL fan cares one way or the other.
855-212-4227. So we have college grades to hand out. The college report card comes your way next.
All right. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Now we're going to go through I told you it was kind of a lame college slate. I think I didn't know that Colorado was going to be exciting. But I do think the fact that the noon slate on Saturday was weak, but we could go through the rest of the slate. EJ, let's run through the college football report card.
Let's go to Boulder, where Shador Sanders' Hail Mary helped lift Colorado to overtime and eventually to a win over Baylor.
I got to give him an A. I mean, Shador throws these long passes. By the way, it could have been two Hail Marys if his wide receiver hadn't dropped the ball. But on the play preceding the actual Hail Mary that sent it to overtime, he's just like effortlessly throwing the ball. Was that 60 yards? I mean, it looks so easy to him.
But you're giving him an A based on a Hail Mary. I don't know, you know, what
like,
are you giving
why
for
are
the
they in
59
this
minutes, 40 seconds against a mediocre Baylor team? Like, and I got to admit, I did not watch the second half of this game because I'm old. But I don't know. I just like Shador Sanders. I'm not sure he's building that top five pick resume. Even I'm not sure teams are going to be like, oh, a guy can throw a Hail Mary. That's
where
not
would
a
they
thing.
Be without him? I mean, every time I watch Colorado, I'm like, this guy isn't the problem. I see them not being able to run the ball, not being able to stop the run. He and Travis Hunter are clearly the best players on the field. It's not even close.
Yeah, and still.
So what grade do you give him?
I guess I give him an A based on a Hail Mary, but this feels like I'll give him an A-. Because the rest of the game, what did he throw for 340 total yards? So he had about 260 against Baylor. Like, he should be kind of tearing them apart. And he just can't with that line.
The offense is so one-dimensional. Okay, some high marks for Shador. Who's next, DJ?
All right, let's go to Lincoln Riley. It was USC's debut in the Big Ten. They suffered a heartbreaking loss to Michigan.
Wow, let me get this straight. Lincoln Riley joins the Big Ten and gets run all over by a tough Midwestern Big Ten team. Who would have ever seen that coming? That is a C on Lincoln Riley and the most predictable C in the history of college football.
I kind of want to go like C-, maybe even a D. You played a team that passed for 32 yards.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. Michigan's offense, there's nothing there. They only can run the ball. And with your improved defense, not only did you have to try to really have a furious comeback to get back.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
why the weird, you know, shovel passes that when they drop are stopping the clock? I didn't understand it. They were burning time when they needed more time. I thought Lincoln Riley kind of choked here in his first game in the Big Ten.
They were super lucky to get that late lead back. Like that was because Michigan was that's the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a guy that inaccurate. They could have
Alex Orji.
Yeah, Alex Orji. Like, dude, you had guys wide open everywhere. USC was just, they said, forget it. We're not even going to cover the wide receivers. We're just going to all come up on the run and couldn't do anything. So you're right. This is the worst fear of a Lincoln Riley team, that they're just going to be out-toughed. And they were.
Who's next, EJ?
All right, let's go to Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz of the top 10 ranked Missouri Tigers. They had a very, very scary game against Vanderbilt, need a chip shot missed field goal in overtime to win.
Yeah, this was after they needed to come from behind to beat Boston College, right? And so this has been two tough ones here for Mizzou. Either you can say, oh, this is good, they actually won these games. But I think it's a lot of the penalties and the unforced errors here. So I'm going to give Drinkwitz like a B-. B-.
I give him a D. Apparently, like, every strategic mistake that you could make, he did make. This is a Vanderbilt team, by the way, that Nick Saban just called out over the weekend saying, yeah, it's hard to go to any SEC place except Vanderbilt. And yet, this is like, they're putting together the lamest resume right now. And especially because there are other good teams in SEC. I find Missouri kind of disappointing right now. EJ, you got me kind of hype on them coming into the season. They do not look great.
Yeah, I guess there was a situation where they really should have just punted the ball, but instead they like ran up quickly and snapped the ball. to try to run a play to catch the defense, but then the defense was not fooled by this at all, and Brady Cook got sacked, and they ended up being a terrible turnover that gave Vanderbilt good field position.
I saw a headline in USA Today called Eli Drinkwitz the Yoda of bad clock management. I guess he screwed up the first half and the end of the game.
What I just described was the end of the first half.
Ooh. So not looking good for them, but then again, the record is good.
They got a bye week this week. I think they need it.
All right, last one, and this one was a doozy. How about UNC head coach Mack Brown, who had to basically offer his resignation to his players after the game?
I saw the funniest tweet of the weekend was a picture of Mack Brown and the former president, James Madison, and said, Mack Brown loses to his old friend, James Madison. Mack's a little older. I thought that made my weekend. I saw that score. I was like, what is going on, North Carolina?
Yeah, they lost 70-50. Imagine taking the under in this game and just being like, I'm the worst gambler alive.
And what do they pay to lose 70-50? They definitely paid six figures.
Was this one of those where you paid them like 1.2 million?
I think it was over a million, right?
Oh, I thought it was less than a million.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I saw on Twitter, like, you paid a million to let up this many points. It is North Carolina football, can you imagine being a fan of that program? You just have to like the basketball team because even when they're good, they either get violations, they have number one picks who end up not winning college football games. They're a mess.
Well, the question is, like, what if one of the players, when Mack Brown goes in and says, I'll resign if you want, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes out, he said, nobody wanted me to resign. It's like, wow, who could have seen that coming?
Well, that being said, I would love to play for Mack Brown. Mack Brown and his posts when they win and he does that dance. I love Mack Brown. I just don't think he has his fastball anymore based on yesterday. Yeah, Saturday.
You know, usually these disappointing losses don't come till a little later in the season for UNC, but it's like him saying, all right, who here wants me to resign is a little like going to a wedding and being like, if anyone objects to these two people getting married, like no one actually is like, stop the wedding.
By the way, $500,000 North Carolina paid to get James Madison to come in and drop 70 on them.
But James Madison was top 25 last year, right? They're good.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I watched that score, and I actually thought maybe it was basketball season. I was like, is this preseason basketball going on? Like, this can't be the right football score.
Yep, it is. How old is Mack Brown? 73. Year for almost every point. scored on that.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Yeah. Bogus is here with headlines.
Maybe they got some help from the officials who didn't call pass interference in the end zone late in the fourth quarter, but the Chiefs' defense made the plays otherwise to hold on in Atlanta on Sunday Night Football.
On fourth down and a yard to go. Long count. They give it off. Bashaun Robinson hit in the backfield. He goes down. Kansas City holds on downs again. Nick Bolton scrapes to the outside and makes the hit. And Kansas City defensively holds on downs, fourth down at the 6 and now the 13.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. KC escaping with the 22-17 win to reach 3-0. Andy Reid would have preferred his offense close things out instead.
We need to do a better job offensively on that last drive and not put the defense in that position.
The Chiefs went 3-and-out on that drive in between those fourth down stops. How about one more bouquet for Pearl's friend, Andrew Jebediah Dalton III? He had the NFL's first 300-yard, 3-TD game this season yesterday. He was so good in Vegas that, as you heard from Antonio Pierce last hour, he made dudes quit. That's the world we live in.
By the way, his middle name is Gregory. I call him Jay because my middle initial is Jay.
So we're all wrong.
So when I say Andrew J. Dalton, I'm just referring to myself. He's Andrew G. Dalton.
And did you give him a third or a junior? The first
initial? Yeah.
Is that true or is that for your friend?
It just
or
sounds
what?
Good. No,
okay.
It's like Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
Andrew J. Dalton III.
Yeah, he seems like he could be a third.
Or an Esquire.
Yeah. No, I don't think Andy Dalton's...
a degree, a knight?
I don't think Andy Dalton's from, like British aristocracy. He's from Fort Worth. I mean, I don't know where...
Could be oil aristocracy.
Yeah. He's not.
Okay, well, you know better.
He's from Houston. He's not even from Fort Worth.
Still could be oil money.
No, I don't think he is.
The Giants considered quitting in Cleveland yesterday, fumbling the opening kickoff and giving up a touchdown on the very next play. So they were down 7-0 after 11 seconds, but they rallied, then hung on for a 21-15 W. Golly gee, says Daniel Jones.
Man, huge credit to our defense, the way they played. Obviously, you know, fumble on the kick return, and then they score on the first play. And then after that, the defense, you know, buckled down, played an unbelievable game, and hats off to them. They were big time.
There was one point during that early window yesterday where Jones was having the best quarterback day in the league. It didn't finish that way necessarily. We did throw two touchdown passes to Malik Nabers. He's the first receiver ever with 20 catches and three scores in his first three career games. Now, week three has two games left. The Bills host the Jaguars, 7:30 Eastern. The Commanders and Bengals start 45 minutes later. Hopefully the ratings are better than Caitlin Clark's game. 11 points, missed 13 to 17 shots. Her fever took a 93-69 hammering from the Sun to begin their best of three yesterday. But Clark is the unanimous Rookie of the Year. She also finished fourth in MVP voting. Asia Wilson won that unanimously, then had 21 points and five blocks in the Aces' 78-67 Game 1 win over the Storm.
I'm very nervous about this ratings bet because...
I'm not. I'm hungry.
Yeah, because I feel like I've somehow made everyone except Ryan Botcher mad on this show over the last couple of weeks. I mean,
Ryan's pissed. Yeah,
no, I don't think you can't make Ryan Botcher mad. But so I feel like if I lose this bet, I'm going to have to really pay up. I'm trying a technicality where the peak rating got over 2 million.
No. But the bet's with me. It's whoever buys breakfast tomorrow for everyone, whether the Caitlin Clark's first WNBA game was going to get have 2 million people watching.
Right. So
that's the rating. Peak. That's not the peak rating.
Well, 2 million people watching at once is 2 million people watching.
But
therefore,
we never
I would win.
Said peak rating.
I don't even know what... First of all, we're not broadcast executives. I don't even know what that means.
Well, I mean, you have to be Einstein to figure out what peak rating means.
So if they got 2 million at any point in the game, I win, right?
Nope.
No.
2 million people watching. But that's what I said.
The average. We go with the average.
Mm-hmm. It's like
why will we go with the average? Because you want to get in on this free meal here?
No, we never said, you never said peak. It's like, what are the ratings? Whatever that first number, not the peak number.
It'd be like the time. What did you try to do, Maggie? Get the spread involved?
Oh, gosh.
Through the back door?
Get me started
it'd be the
that
same
started
thing.
This whole Sweet Caroline business I'm still paying for.
Yes, that was last year when the Bills played the Eagles, and Perloff and I were going to have to dress up like each other's team, like super fans, and sing the fight song and stuff like that. And I tried to pull we never said it wasn't against the spread.
Well, it's like
and our old boss got so mad at me because that he punished the whole show and made us all dress up.
Two mayors betting, like, you know, famously, like, oh, I'm the mayor of Baltimore. Give me 4 points and let's do a bet. What are you talking about? Like, it was pride on the line and you tried to get points?
I'll take the crab cakes and the under.
By the way, it wasn't even after the bet. Spike was mad. Our former boss, Spike, was mad before the game even happened because you tried to get points.
Because when I put the bet out on social media, I put the -4 or whatever it was. I forgot what the spread was.
Baseball yesterday, the Diamondbacks blew an 8-0 lead in Milwaukee, lost 10-9. Then the Mets snuck past the Phillies at night 2-1. So New York and Arizona are again tied for the last two wildcard spots. The Braves are two games behind them, and the disappointing Reds have fired manager David Bell, who signed a 3-year extension just last summer. Last thing for me, let's go back to Saturday's Colorado State-UTEP game. This was on True TV, apparently. J.B. Long, Mike Golic Jr. on the call, and J.B. notices that they are 4 minutes into the third quarter, and no penalties had been called yet.
I hold my tongue, but there's a noticeable box score statistic, Golic, that we may need to address here before too much more time passes. Oh, no. I don't even believe in it. The broadcaster jinx is not a thing.
But, you did it.
Oh, my gosh, the first penalty of the game. As if it were scripted, my bad.
Ball start. Offense number 68, 5-yard penalty, second down.
Drew Moss, that is not you. My friend, that is me. 2,000 career snaps, and I walk into your house, and I ding you for one.
At least he was an adult taking responsibility. But he wasn't even done saying, we haven't had a flag yet, and there was the flag.
That's pretty amazing, though, to get all the way to the third quarter without a penalty.
Yeah, it is. Bogus, you
my
ever
kind
done,
of officiating.
Have you ever done the jinx as a broadcaster?
Oh, I've definitely done the free throw jinx.
The worst.
Yes.
Don't tell me you did it when you were doing NBA games last year.
I don't think so.
That would
just
be
college kids that you really care
about.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, yeah, I guess you could bet on them then. Yeah, what if you had money against your one of the teams and you said, well, he's 87%, never misses in this spot.
Bogus had money on one of the teams. He's got a lot more problems than an announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, are you burying the big result from the weekend there, Bogus?
Didn't happen.
Oh, do you guys? You guys aren't aware of this?
Fordham.
Fordham. Guess who they lost to?
Yeah, I know.
Dartmouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, how did this not come out earlier?
Fordham lost. It would have been the lead had they won.
It's a very curated update.
Yeah. I'm the one in charge. I write them. We would have led. We would have knocked away the Chiefs and Falcons.
I was trying to
afford to win in New Hampshire.
I was trying to think of something to say to Bogus, but I couldn't name a single player on the Dartmouth team. So that put me in a tough spot.
And what did I say? They all looked good Saturday.
Yeah, they, what was the spread on that bad boy?
I don't know, but the final score was not close. Fordham doesn't have its best. It has its quarterback and its best defensive player, plus its best wide receiver. So that was.
Dude, you got to tell me this. We got to make some money.
Excuses.
No. Are you allowed? By the way, so you no. do call for me. You're not allowed to gamble on them, right?
No. No.
Not only that, he's not allowed to tell us anything that he might have information that could help you and I make money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
pulling him out
if you're
deep
listening,
water
he
here.
Does not.
But there's nothing less truthful, by the way, than those two deep things that teams put out, the depth charts.
Yeah.
Because I've had coaches go, yeah, John's not playing. His leg fell off, but he's listed as the starting left guard. Like, why are we doing this?
So what
are you fooling?
Al Michaels says all this stuff. He doesn't actually have money on these games.
Al Michaels is not me. He does what he wants.
Yeah, Al Michaels.
When Al Michaels goes, this game is
facts.
Over.
Yeah.
It could be any more obvious.
Yeah. He's definitely at the golf club, put down a 50 spot on that, right?
Wait,
that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Yeah.
Announcers with inside info
maybe
betting on
AI
stuff.
AI Al Michaels
says
money on the game, and I don't know about real Al.
Did you guys see her last week? He was trying to rail against AI
during
Sunday football. I'm like, who the hell are you, Al Michaels, respectfully? Yeah. You literally had your AI voice on the Olympics.
Dude, he's calling a game with Herbie. He's desperately trying to come up with something to talk about.
I think Herb Street's been better this year on the NFL.
Oh, my God. Their games, it's amazing how bad those games become.
Well, Tua almost died on the field. I mean, what are you going to – you can't jazz that up. And they tried.
Yeah, I mean, they've had – I think every game has been bad again.
Yeah, I can't wait for Giants-Cowboys on Thursday. Angry Cowboys, terrible Giants.
I don't know.
Look out.
Collision course. Stu Gatz would say.
It's a race for first.
What's that?
It's a race for first place in MC East.
It's true.
We'll see.
Well, no, BC. Well, yeah, the Eagles are 2-1.
2-1. Commanders could be in 2-1.
We've got some must-win games tonight. The 0-3 Jacksonville and 0-3
sure.
Bengals both in action tonight.
That is actually
and 0-2,
super
sorry.
Must-win.
In danger of being 0-3.
And speaking of broadcaster jinx, I saw one yesterday for your boy Josh Allen that I was going to bring up to be a jerk this morning, but then I remember that he's on my fantasy team and I need him to play well. So
is this when all the broadcasters pick the same team to win? It's like, you idiots.
Yeah.
You realize what you've done?
Yeah.
Somebody pick someone else.
But actually, I would say 90% of the media picks the Bills every week, and you pick against them every week. Clearly, we understand what's going on here. Deep psychological trauma when it comes to your own football team.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but that was not an insult in any way.
It's funny. Like
that was facts.
Go to therapy. Like, you don't understand.
Football, yeah.
Showing her clips of Scott Norwood.
If you went to a football therapist and you were wearing a Bills jersey, they'd just be like, get out of here. There's nothing I can do for you.
I don't have the degree for that.
Yeah, there is no degree. Sigmund Freud himself cannot.
I do my sessions from home, and it's just Bills and Mets stuff hanging behind me on the video conference call.
Sorry, Maggie, I can't help.
They're just like, here's a lot of drugs. Thank you, Bogus. 855-212-4227. only something chemical will reverse this, this amount of disappointment.
Seems to be working, too.
Is that why everyone gets so hammered in the parking lot?
Yep. Yep, you learned. Okay, lots more to do, including we should make picks for tonight. We've also got one team who's out to a shocking start. Can they sustain it? We do all that next.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Can I add a little insult to injury for the Dallas Cowboys?
Okay.
I saw this tweet from Spotrac, the website that tracks all the NFL salaries. Does a great job. According to them, the Cowboys, quote unquote, could not afford Derrick Henry, who wanted $9 million guaranteed, because they owe their QB3 Trey Lance $5.3 million guaranteed this year, and they paid Dak Prescott a $5 million bonus in March, while his negotiations were stalled, to name a few reasons. I do remember that Dak Prescott money that made no sense at the time. And the fact that Trey Lance is getting $5 million to sit there. They should have signed Derrick Henry for the sole reason of not having him on the field against them in week three.
Little would they know this interconference game that came up in week three. They should have done it just for that. Well, here was Jerry Jones yesterday. He was asked this question by our friend Matt Mosley, right?
I believe so, yes.
About why they didn't go harder after Derrick Henry.
Do what he did. It didn't make you rethink your approach to the run game.
We couldn't afford that question.
Why not? Well, you could.
I don't know. Why can't you buy a mansion when you live in a different kind of house? We couldn't afford it. We can't make that all fit.
So is that a general you, or was he specifically talking to Matt saying, why can't you live in a mansion? Like, Jerry, that's a low blow. And Matt has a very nice house, from what I understand, as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, I mean, that's what more does someone really need?
Yeah, I'm sure Matt's house is perfectly fine. I mean, sorry, he doesn't have the Jerry-mobile and the yacht.
I know, but who does? I don't think that was to Matt, but I think that it's funny. Jerry's really good at money and maybe terrible at money all at the same time, right? He's good enough to make the Cowboys into a $10 billion business, but the way that they manage their salary cap, I think, leaves a lot of, you know, to be desired. Why are you always paying guys at the very tippity top of the market? Because you're late on stuff. You want to see more leaves fall, as Jerry says.
Well, CeeDee Lamb was probably going to get right around there anyway. He was probably going to be right below Justin Jefferson one way or the other. They haven't paid Micah Parsons yet. So you're saying really Dak, they could have done Dak earlier. The thing about Derrick Henry, it's a 32-year-old running back. It might not have been the smartest move anyway. I'm not going to kill him for that, but they need somebody better than Zeke Elliott.
Listen, they needed, it's funny because you always talk about running backs. Oh, they're interchangeable. Well, not really for the Cowboys, they're not, because not one of them is got the qualities of the interchangeable quarterbacks, right? And it's funny. Some teams can just find running backs because of the type of style and offense they play. Like the 49ers will always find somebody. Yeah. It seems like the Rams will always find somebody, stuff like that. But the Cowboys clearly are not that type of offense.
Right. Henry's 30, by the way. I gave him an extra 2 years. He doesn't need that.
No, he doesn't. Quickly, Terry's in Lubbock. Terry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. First and foremost, go Bills. But I wanted to answer your question about Tom Brady. You know, honestly, I don't mind him too much, and I'll take him 10 times out of 10 over Chris Collinsworth. I think it's honestly ridiculous when you watch Chris Collinsworth call a game with Patrick Mahomes, because the dude snaps the ball, and Chris Collinsworth, the media is like, look at the way he snaps the ball. It's magical. And he's obviously biased, you know what I mean? Because there was that bogus call about roughing the passer against Kirk Cousins, and Collinsworth was all over it, but then they do it to Mahomes. And the bogus call against Mahomes, but then they do it to Cousins, and you know, Collinsworth is sitting there, oh, that's a suspect call. At least he got it right when they got all over Pitts, which would have got me, you know, Pitts anytime touchdown, by the way. But, you know, the Chiefs again and again, I mean, there's always a suspect call, and Chris Collinsworth is, that dude needs, they need to put him someplace else. And if I'm being honest here, any radio caller is better than any TV caller any day of the week. They're all kind of there.
Terry,
that's all I got, though.
Dropping the mic at the end of the show.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth does love him some Patrick Mahomes, I think.
Yeah, but Chris Collinsworth sounds like he's Picasso compared to Brady.
He has a little more energy than Brady. I'll give him that.
Thank you to E.J. Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. We'll see you tomorrow after a doubleheader on Monday night tonight.